strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking, it was done.
You're listening to the Green Pastures with Jesus podcast, the audio home of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church, located in lovely Fairmont, Minnesota. You found your daily home for a few minutes with Jesus, including a Monday and Thursday in-depth study podcast and the occasional Saturday bonus episode. I'm your host, Pastor Peter Hagen. Today we've got our daily Bible reading, so take a deep breath and let's hear what God has to say. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God the Father, fountain and source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your only Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in the sacrament of Holy Communion, and we thank you for having made us your own in the sacrament of Holy Baptism. We pray that you will not forsake your children, but will always rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may constantly serve you through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Today's Bible reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given them honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of our Lord. Chapter 12 here is the next or another major ABA section, where Paul, here in chapter 12, discusses the topic of spiritual gifts and the body of Christ. Sandwiched in between, chapter 13, he discusses love. And then he's going to come back to this discussion in chapter 14, where he's going to talk again about spiritual gifts and the relationship between Christians. And in chapter 14, he's also going to, kind of reach back to chapter 11, where he talked about the relationship between men and women and order in the church. So you could really think about chapters 10 through 14 as discussing what loving order within God's church really looks like. Back in chapter 10, it means holding firm to the truth and not using our Christian freedom in a way that would impede on our fellowship together, that would encourage other people to sin against their conscience or to use our freedom in an unloving way. And that's kind of the theme running through the background of chapters 10 through 14. So in that section, he really also talked about Holy Communion and the proper celebration of Holy Communion, talked about propriety and worship, and how men and women each have different responsibilities. And in Christian love, neither man nor woman asserts that he or she is ahead of the other, because Paul says there's no place for either feminism or chauvinism in the Church of God, but rather each one seeks the good of the other as they carry out the responsibilities that God has delegated to them in their relationship to the other sex. Then we get to today's chapter. In chapter 12, Paul talks specifically about spiritual gifts and kind of the differences within God's church. And as we strive to work together in love and in fellowship with one another, we want to, same basic principle, use what God has given to us or delegated to us in service and in love to the other, not to boost ourselves up or boast about what we have or what we accomplish, we ourselves, but rather to use this for the common good, that Christ may be glorified. So here in chapter 12, the parallel to 1 Corinthians 12 is Romans chapter 12. These are the two big places that talk about spiritual gifts within God's church. Neither one is intended as an exhaustive list. But here in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 and following, back in verse 4, he says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, different kinds of service, different kinds of working, but the same God and Lord works all of them. Chapter 7 or verse 7 and following, to each individual Christian, the gift of the Spirit and is given for the common good. Their manifestation of the Spirit is the way that he puts it. And what that is really talking about is the fact that whatever talents and skills you had before you were a Christian, or that you've developed over a lifetime of being a Christian, for a Christian, those are now directed in service to God. And that when God brought you to faith and has helped you to grow in your faith through the gospel, and as you've applied that gospel to your Christian life and you've sought to be a good steward of all the opportunities and all the talents that God has given to you, as that whole process goes about, God gives and blesses the effort with more gifts. And he gives us a little bit of a list there. The message of wisdom, talking about knowledge and faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Not all of these gifts have to be present in the church at all times. So, for instance, we shouldn't be expecting and saying that, we're not the church because nobody speaks in tongues at our church. Well, that's not the case. But Paul gives these as examples because, apparently it was prevalent there in Corinth. And that makes sense that God used miracles or tongues in the early church to confirm that it was his word and his work. But Paul's point is this, in verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. And you expect Paul to say, that's the way the church is, that's the way your congregation is, that's the way God designed his Christian church to be. But the last part of verse 12, he says, so it is with Christ. The identity of Christ and his church is so close and so intertwined that Paul, he substitutes the name of Jesus where you would expect to hear, oh, the church, God's church is full of different kinds of people with different talents and skills and abilities and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, that's how Jesus reveals himself among you, where his word encourages and builds up faith. And as God does that, he also bestows these special gifts. You know, it's not necessarily where we look at ourselves and I say, oh, I wonder what mine is. No, that's not where Paul wants us to lead. Paul says in verse 13, exactly following up on it, the point is that you are a member of this body, and you are unique in your mind, in your talents and abilities and interests and gifts and skills. And the reason why? Because you were baptized by this one Spirit into one body. So there's no distinction of spiritual status. Even though there is a difference in different people's interests or abilities or gifts, there's no distinction in status. So it's kind of the same theme as previously, that even though there are differences and differences in responsibility and perhaps even ability in some ways, there is no distinction or difference in status. We all have the one body, the one Spirit, and each of us has a place. Whether, you know, try to get somewhere without your feet or without your hands. You know, try to lift up a heavy object using only one hand. Try to get your driver's license when you're only able to see out of one eye. Paul kind of paints this preposterous picture of a whole, you know, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Just picture a huge eyeball rolling down the street. It's kind of preposterous. And Paul says that's the way it is with God's church, that each of you is different. And we can't say that this person or that member of Christ's body is not needed. He says, verse 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. What does that mean? Well, the weaker members, if we think in terms of faith or in terms of, you know, appearances, for instance, if somebody is new to the faith, that person is essential, as is somebody who has been a Christian for their entire life. Both are essential, both have a role to play, both bring something to the table. Even if, you know, for the new Christian, all they bring is the opportunity for that older or experienced Christian to exercise their faith, to demonstrate the love of Christ in their interactions with this new Christian, or to encourage this new Christian in their faith. And so Paul says, verse 27, well, he kind of sums it up in verses 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. That is the unity that we share. He says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. It doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been a Christian. Doesn't matter your status in this life, what happened before you became a Christian. Doesn't matter your job, your occupation, any of that. Because God has made you a member of the body of Christ. And so you have a place. You have responsibility. You have opportunity. And you have blessings brought to you through these other Christians as well. And so the unity that we share is really the big point, which Paul will get to in the very next chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. How do we use these different gifts, and how do we account for trying to work together and live together as Christians? You know, because our sinful nature always says, I want to assert myself, and I want to take perhaps pride in what I do and look down on what somebody else does do or doesn't do. Well, It's part of the ABA layout. Chapter 12 here, there is one body with many parts, and you are part. Chapter 13, these parts exercise all of their gifts in love to each other and love for God. Chapter 14, so let's be orderly about it. As we bring glory to God, as we seek to use all of the gifts that God has bestowed for the purpose that God has given these gifts, that is to bring glory to Christ, both now and forever. God bless your day.
Jerusalem, the golden.
Thanks for listening to Green Pastures with Jesus, the audio home of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church of Fairmont, Minnesota. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our website, www.shepherdofthelakes.net. Pass that along to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archives section at our website for previous podcasts. You can find us 9:30 a.m. Sunday mornings at 323 East 1st Street in Fairmont, just up the hill from Richard's Towing. Any questions, contact me, Pastor Hagen, 507-236-9572. God bless your day. What bliss beyond compare.